Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Julie Hayden here. Party Friday on the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck is moments away. He is diligently following the speed limit on I-25, coming up from a meeting to make sure that he gets here in time. We have been, and we'll be talking about more about this in the coming weeks and months, conspiring. A lot of people out there very upset about the way the establishment Republicans, especially in Colorado, but really all across the country, are more almost of an enemy than the Democrats. And we've come up with some ways to not, you know, to say, hey, look, not only are we mad as heck, we're not going to take it anymore. We're not going to take it anymore. And we have some things we're going to be doing, and we're going to be sharing some of that, you know, as it kind of becomes available and we get kind of plans in order. A lot though today to talk about, we're going to have Ted Trimpa, our Democrat strategist friend, AKA the Sword of Soros, coming on. You know, I'll be honest. I told Chuck, I'm like, I'm not sure. I like Ted, but I'm not sure I'm ready to talk to him about this yet. And Chuck's like, no, you know, let's get him on and we can talk about that. I would like, though, to say, and thank you to Mark, who sent this to us, it's not over till it's over kind of thing. Mark had sent us an email that came out from Jenna Ellis, who, as we all know, is Trump's attorney, and she's from right here in Colorado. And here's what she says. She says, today, the Electoral College votes are being sealed and sent by special carrier to Washington, D.C., where they will remain sealed until January 6th. That's when the House and Senate come into joint session to open the votes. Now, as she said, everybody in the mainstream media, the corporate media, the Democrats, all would want you to believe, hey, look, it's over. This is just a done deal. That's a formality. But Jenna Ellis says, no, not so. She says, on January 6th, Nancy Pelosi will sit down with the rest of the House members, as she has no special power or authority over the hearing. Vice President Mike Pence will have all of the authority as the president of the Senate for that day, and he will accept or reject motions to decide the next steps by assembly. Here comes Chuck. Sure. Remember, Mike Pence is, according to Jenna Ellis, is a full authority that day, as written in the Constitution. The votes will be opened, and at that point, one House member could, and she says most likely will, raise their hand to object to the vice president on the state of the electors' votes. That objection could cover fraud, any other reason, and with the seconding of that objection, everything changes. Because according to Jenna Ellis, what happens then is the House and Senate then divide for 2 hours to debate, at least, and the vote will be per senator, with the vice president being the deciding vote if needed in the sentence. And this is what's important. In the House, okay, there will be one vote per delegation per state, not per House member. So the Republicans have 30 delegation votes compared to the Democrat 20 delegation votes. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
And she doesn't say in there what happens if they split.
No, that's what you came up with that question. What happens if they split? Then whoever elected Trump wins.
Trump wins.
That's the new Constitution rule.
I think that's very interesting too.
It is. And I gotta... Again, it's kind of hard to know how to feel about this, right? I mean,
well, I know how I feel.
Well, I know how I feel about it, but what I think will happen. It's hard to separate what I hope will happen from what I think will happen.
Well, I know what will happen in the Senate. There'll be at least four traitors in the Senate.
Mitt Romney. That's why I think, this is why we already hear Mitt Romney. Why on earth is Mitt Romney weighing in? He's slamming Trump for his silence on the
Russia.
What? It's like, shut up, Mitt Romney.
And in the House, I don't know. You could have the Republicans. I guess they could lose four of the states and still prevail. That'd be a lot closer one. But I think it's going to be fascinating.
It is. And I saw Mark just joined us on Zoom. So Mark, I just read the letter you sent me from Jenna Ellis. So thanks. We love it when you guys send me stuff, because mm-hmm. it's hard to keep your eyes and ears open and everything. It will be, well, because here's, let me ask you this, Chuck. So I'm pretty sure that's just say that that's how it goes down. And that's just say that they vote and then Congress votes to elect President Trump. I'm assuming that the Biden people are going to go, oh, we tried hard. We cheated. We rigged. We did everything we could. But I guess we lost, right? I mean, I imagine they don't.
Accept the results. They will graciously.
He will not concede. So then it goes to the Supreme Court. And you got to wonder, will the Supreme Court? I mean, the Constitution lays that out, right?
Well, does it go to the Supreme Court?
I don't. That's what I'm saying. If you're the Biden camp, what do you do in that event?
Start killing us.
Riot, loot, right? That's
right. They're the usual.
Burn
some cities down. But it's. I think that's fantastic. I was listening, and you know they have a lot of these poll workers over in Fulton County, and they're going to have some on tonight, I think.
Who?
Hannity, probably.
Okay.
And they said no. It's just total fraud.
And they all got fired, by the way. All of the people who got fired for the upcoming run or for the runoff election for the Senate, all of the people who brought out the fraud and objected got fired. Yeah. So that's one way to handle it.
That's a good way to handle it.
So what would be pretty interesting, I think that, you know, that's the corporate social media people are continuing to try to clamp down. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it. Can you tweet about the fact that Trump was elected by Congress? Is that fraud? Is that fake news? I mean, so maybe that'll be the thing.
Misinformation.
That'll be hate speech. That's going to be, Chuck, their tactic. Their tactic is going to be to not let us know. To not let us know that Trump is still president. Yeah. So meanwhile, here, Joe Biden, because they can't get anybody there, they're planning an inauguration. And I get emails from Joe Biden. And they want me to donate to their all online virtual inauguration. I'm like, what do you need money for? What do you mean? So they know no one would come. And so it's going to be all online. Like, what a joke. You know, maybe he's doing that because he knows even Trump may not go. And that sort of avoids that whole situation.
Well, I think they know it'd be embarrassing. Few people would show up.
I mean, no one listens to his speeches. The mainstream media is a little bit starting to complain about him.
He went to a hard biting interview with
the comedian Stephen Colbert.
Which was just embarrassing. I mean, it was just embarrassing. They asked him about, well, what about your degree? You know, your doctor's. He said, it's the proudest thing I've ever done. And
Jim or Jill?
Jill.
Okay.
And of course, she'd be very proud of her thing. And then they put their dissertation online.
Well, yeah, Sean Hannity did. Tucker Carlson did.
I read it.
Well, here's the
comical
thing.
She has simple mathematics. She says, okay, 3/4 of people would be Caucasian, 1/4 would be African-American, another would be this, another 5 would be this, not realizing that 3/4 and 1/4 adds up to a whole.
That's common core math.
She's a moron. I can honestly tell you, fairly. I didn't know before. I had no idea how bright or unbright she was. I always assumed, you know, she had, you know, that's why they give these stupid degrees, I suppose, that she was intelligent. And no.
Well, Whoopi Goldberg, she should be the Surgeon General. It's like, I guess.
She shouldn't be the director of a kindergarten. I mean, she really is. There were misspellings.
Because she knew it didn't matter, right? She knew she was Jill Biden. So whatever she could
turn
into.
Well, I also found out, and I didn't know this, you know, doctorates of education are universally a joke. They're just very dumb people who can't, you know, their dissertations are bad. They're bad. I didn't know that until now, but she's apparently—
Teaching us?
Yeah, that's right. Well, those who can't do teach, but she's a moron. Joe, and of course there's son Hunter who after being Georgia and transferred to Yale, along with Chris Cuomo.
Well, but then Joe Biden says in the interview, when addressing the crookedness and the corruption and not even getting into the sex scandals involved with teenagers involving Hunter Biden, says he's the smartest man I know. Now, that doesn't surprise me, frankly, but that should have surprised all of us or alarm all of us. Hey, Mark, I see you have brought your picture on. If you want to chime in, just go ahead and unmute yourself.
You're not unmuted.
What? I can't hear you yet. Keith,
too many buttons. I just sent you a video of a woman talking about the Supreme Court. It's like 15 or 20 seconds. If your PBS guy could put that on, you'd really be surprised at what it is. I can't share it from here.
I can't share it because this is the computer that I have to share it with. What's it say? I mean, just tell us about it.
It's the woman talks about she knows one of the clerks that works for the Supreme Court, and the clerk that was outside the room when they were doing the Texas case heard it, and apparently John Roberts was screaming at the new
right.
Court appointees by Trump and saying they'll do what he wants. He's not taking it. And I guess he was using really bad language. And there was a lot of screaming and yelling. And I just got a text from someplace that said, Roberts just responded. I think he's really up the creek, because in it, the woman accused him of saying they should take the case because of other citations that had happened, but because there was riots, he wasn't going to put them.
Yeah, he said, I don't care about Bush v. Gore.
Right. Our own precedent.
Or is it one of his own cases? I mean, somebody said that it was very good because they took Roberts' own case. And I said, Roberts won't care. You know, he'll find some reason to do it. But so Roberts has responded? What is Roberts?
It's nothing to see here, I think.
I didn't see it yet. I haven't seen it, but he's responded.
I saw something there, and they were like, nothing to see here. But I think this is all good news, guys, because this is just the resistance. When was the last time we heard, never, I would say, we heard a leak about a Supreme Court closed-door discussion.
Right.
So
right.
There are people in this country, tens of millions of people, who are, pardon my language, pissed. And it's not like the Democrats' resistance, where it was a handful of Hollywood celebrities who were rioting and wearing goofy hats, right? No, this is average, everyday people.
Well, they don't count compared to a Hollywood celebrity.
Well,
are you kidding me?
Average, everyday people are in a lot of places with access to a lot of stuff, you know? So I
mean, well, are they willing to riot? Is there
well,
not?
But
it
I mean,
won't matter.
But to me,
I think they're going to be checked, because yesterday when I read the Navarro report from beginning to end, when I got the actual copy of that, and people are really mad when they look at the amount of information that he put together. That's
he had six points.
They were cheating. Pardon?
They were like, he had 6 points. I read.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't read it. I guess it's that you say it, I read it. Yeah.
It's a 40-page document. Wow. And he's got notations on it. It's written like a term paper. It puts a site of every charge he's got, and it's voluminous. And he's got a couple charts on there. Maybe Monday, between this gal and that, you could look at
and
put it on your screen, because he's got all of his charts show the 6 points about the six counties, or the six places. I guess it's counties within different states.
Right.
But what it showed was that the line for how much Biden won was like 10,000, 12,000, 15,000. And then they put the amount of fraud that was going on. He summed at the bottom, and each one of the states was that he felt that there was 200,000 illegal votes in all six states.
Right.
And if you take the difference between those, Trump won by a huge amount. I think the American public knows it, and it's really going to be something.
I think so too, Mark.
Hey, I don't think they can walk in with Biden and have a happy country.
They don't.
Well, I mean, they're going to.
Did the Soviet Union, were there happy people in the old Soviet Union? Was it just
Jack,
dancing?
You're being negative.
Rocking in the USSR.
Jack, in all my emails, I write to all my friends and ask my comrades how they're doing.
Yeah.
And they all respond back, Mark, I agree.
All right, Mark,
I'll get
thank
off.
You for that. No, that's fine. That's
you're
fine. We've got time. If you guys want to call in or chime in, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Ted Trimpa coming on at 3:20. Well, I think, though, I find it remarkable that that somebody was willing to talk about what was going on at the Supreme Court debate, right?
Yeah, being a clerk and have clerked over a summer for Justice White, I mean, you were sworn to
but here's the
absolute secrecy, and they threatened your bar license if you revealed court, behind the scene court thing. So somebody took a risk.
So somebody took a risk. But again, that shows what's happening. The people, American people, I'm going to submit the majority of them are disgusted by what's happened. They're disgusted at the courts for not doing anything. And that's what I wonder, if Jenna Ellis just might have a point. They will be disgusted at their elected representatives if they're Republicans and they let this go through. Before you came in, I was saying, you were busy and we've been conspiring with people, because I think one of the biggest threats we face, besides the Democrats, obviously, but even more immediately, are the traitor swamp Republicans, the establishment Republicans, who basically just sit there and let this happen because they're getting their paycheck. I think people are mad about that.
It's not just they're getting their paycheck, it's their mindset.
Yeah.
The good people down in Capitol Tuesday, got Jenna Ellis there and other people to discuss
at the Colorado State Capitol.
Yeah, discuss election fraud there. And representatives said there was a large group of Republicans who absolutely argued against it. They say, right. What happens if people don't think our elections are fair, safe, and secure?
They might have us kicked out, yeah.
But they're saying, but they're not fair, secure. Well, we can't tell people that.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
they're not in Colorado. I mean, how many people, and, you know, I'm a broken record on the subject, but how many times have I said, you know, starting in 2018, they cheated. They cheated their way into overwhelming majorities everywhere.
Right. And again, I think a better word for me is rigged, because here's the thing. They're not going to stop cheating. What they've done is they've rigged it in Colorado. I saw there was another report that came out today looking at the hundreds of millions of dollars that Facebook poured into key counties to essentially rig things in favor of the Democrats. They had extra ballot boxes. They had all kinds of extra stuff.
And what did they say?
I love this quote from the report. It said, a clear picture of a cabal of billionaires and activists using their wealth to subvert, control, and fundamentally alter the electoral system. Now, of course, they're all in bed with China, too, by the way. So,
Julie, it's Russia.
No, it's Russia. Yeah.
Don't try to say China. China, you cannot say
friends.
China.
That's right. We forgot
you must say
friends.
Russia.
Russia. I mean, it's all. Well,
we got Ben Nicholas has popped up.
Who was one of the victims of the fraud here in Colorado? Yeah. Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to make sure that Julie, after Ted is done gloating, you know, about, I want you to explain to him the scenario that is now Jenna is explaining. I only see his reaction.
I can hear it.
Guarantee you, Ted will go, oh, that's very interesting. But behind the scenes, going to go, we've already bought off all the guys we need to buy off. You think we hadn't figured this one out?
We haven't been working on
Jenna
that.
Was, you know, I hate it.
We're going to have the we're going to have the return of Bang Fang, right?
Bang Fang is going to come back.
I'll let you go because I know your guest is coming up.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, I'll listen in.
Well, you know, and then speaking of Bang Fang and all of that, one of the things I think that's also interesting in terms of how this plays out, you know, when they all come back is I think people are angry. And I think the time for, that's why we're talking now, the establishment Republicans, and I disagree with you, Chuck. I don't think it's a mindset. I just think it's evil and corrupt.
There are some that are evil and corrupt, but there are some that are, I was down at the Capitol. I lobbied down there. There are some as dumb as a rock.
Yeah, but I think.
And there are others that are absolutely evil.
But
the absolutely evil, I mean, you know, I don't consider Tom Tancredo evil. But when I told him, you know, he said, well, the demographics changed. We've just lost. I go, no, Tom.
No, I'm not talking about. No, all right. But I think, though, there are the people who are in power, the people who have been elected, right, at the state capitol, who are going along with the Democrat agenda, who are pushing the Democrat agenda. They're not dumb, because to believe they're dumb means if we could just, and this is where Republicans, we got to knock this off, that we believe that if we could just persuade them, we'll show them the facts.
The Republicans.
We'll show the stupid Republicans facts, and then they'll change their mind. They're not going to change their mind because it's not a question of stupidity. It's a question of corruption and power. And
have you ever talked to a particularly dumb person and tried to convince them that something they believed was just ridiculous? No.
Yeah, I think it's worse than that, though. I think if
the people behind them, you know, the consultants and all that. No, they're in.
Well,
on the
deal. That's what I mean. It's not just dumb. The consultants and the people who got them elected are telling them this,
and that's
why they're saying it. And they're not going to change their mind because they realize if they change their mind, their money would go. But I think there are ways to go after them. You know, look at the stuff that's come out about John McCain, with some of these new revelations from the FBI documents that, of course, no one covers anymore that they dropped. McCain, again, it's confirmed, is giving documents over to the FBI. He's giving the fake dossier to the FBI. And then they get mad. Then McCain's family, what a bunch of idiots, get upset at Trump because, he was mean about it.
There'll be one of the McCains, I guess, is going to be ambassador to the Court of St. James, as they call it, Great Britain. Like it matters, you know?
Right.
Julie, I've had more than my time, but
go ahead.
I listen. I on the way home I went someplace, and that's why I was late getting in. On the way home, I listened to Navarro, and he's going on all the radio stations. And his major emphasis is that he produced this document because America's elections are now corrupt. There's no doubt. It's 100% they're corrupt, and that we're a third world. And I think he's trying as hard as he can to make it so that the Democrats, no matter what they say, have been caught. And it's really wrong. And he said without a thorough audit, nobody can ever believe our elections again.
Well, but here in Colorado, they're like, oh, no, we don't need an audit. I mean, because Wayne Williams told us we didn't. It's like, well, of course, Wayne Williams told us he didn't. He was probably part of the deal to get Dominion voting systems in here in the first place.
We have Ted Tripp coming up, but he's presently talking to George Soros.
So
yeah, I'm with you, probably. Okay, guys.
Hey, Mark, I don't know if Ted could hear you there.
Ted is talking to the Soros family.
He's talking to George Soros.
And his son, a couple of his sons he knows well. Democracy Alliance people, Progress Now.
They found some more votes.
They found some more votes, yes, here in Colorado. All right.
Ted, were you able to hear it? We're trashing you. We're sorry. Our good friend, if you want to unmute yourself, we'll bring you on up now. Can you go ahead? Our good friend, even though he is the sort of Soros, Democrat strategist, Ted Trimpa. Ted, we were joking. We saw you on the phone there. We think you're talking to George Soros and you're finding more pallets and cases of ballots.
National Popular Vote.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful decorations, by the way.
Oh,
though.
Excellent.
Your place looks great.
Who is responsible for that, Raj?
Oh, no. The tree is me.
Let me jump in, and we're going to bring it to you from our perspective. And I just want to get
Let Ted. I mean, last time Trump won in a huge upset, Ted was gracious enough to come on and listen to our exploding. So give us your, how do you feel about, first you stole Colorado, now you stole the whole country. It must feel good. It must feel good. You guys must feel we stole another, we've destroyed a democracy in America, and we're just not ever going to give it back.
We're just becoming a good thief.
Yeah. You guys are great thieves.
I will start with this. One, if there would have been a flip of 24,000 votes, 24. Donald Trump would have won the Electoral College and he would be president, despite the fact that he lost the national popular vote by over 7 million votes.
Right.
And that would have been explosive in the country.
Thank God it didn't happen. Thank God you guys weren't willing to burn down. You didn't burn everything down last time.
And didn't like 7 and, million of them come from Stacey Abrams alone?
Yeah, Stacey Abrams, submitted
3.3 million, on her own. Sorry. Go ahead. You're supposed
to. That's all right. Are you guys now going to explain how the moon landing didn't happen?
Don't believe your eyes on that Fulton County thing. That was perfectly all right. And that water main break that didn't happen. That happens. Counting. Stop counting. No. Your eyes are lying to you. Listen to Bill Biden and the good.
I have to tell you though. Either side can say that they've done bad things around elections. The scale of what you're talking about isn't possible to pull off. The scale of what you're talking about in terms of the number of votes. I mean, it is.
How'd you do it in Colorado?
I wish we were that organized in order to do it. And then I'm going to give another plug for National Popular Vote. If you had a national popular vote, these kinds of things wouldn't matter because you're pulling all the votes.
And Republicans
can win a national popular vote.
Oh, sure they can. That's why you want it. That's why you want it to happen because you want to help Republicans.
Believe it or not, I believe in fairness too. One person, one vote. When you take a look at non-battleground states. When you talk about non-battleground states, total votes, total Democratic votes, total Republican votes, there are always more Republican votes in those non-battleground states than there are Democratic votes. So essentially, you guys are throwing away votes. If you were to do a national popular vote, all of a sudden that becomes part of the total. You think about the number of Republican votes that are in California that get thrown away.
What about the, well, Ben is saying, stop it. My sides are hurting. He's laughing. Let me ask you a serious question though, without going into, because I think we're probably going to have to agree to disagree on the fraud. But I think it is a fact that you've got roughly 74 million Americans who seriously, significantly, deeply believe the election was stolen. How do you guys address that? Or do you just say,
in part, why they believe it's stolen is because we have a president who keeps saying it over and over and over and over, despite federal judges that Republican AGs are saying, listen, there's nothing there. Even the henchmen,
AGs sign on to the Texas suit?
Right.
They're scared of the people in your face that are going to go after them. But let's put that aside. The henchmen, the backman, the one who literally would take people out in the back alley, break their knees, watch them bleed to death, A.G. Barr, came out and said, listen, it's not there.
Who then quit?
Softy Bear.
Of course he quit. Softy Bear. He doesn't want to stay with somebody who's lost his mind.
A.G. Softy Bear.
He squelched the Hunter Biden investigation. He didn't take anybody out back and beat him up unless...
Kevin Kleinsmith. That's it. Yeah. All the crap you guys did, and you have one guy who's going to get probation. Oh, yeah. That's right. A.G. Barr. A.G. Barr. He's a tough one.
But you
guys are fair weather friends to your friends, and you take a look back at everything that Barr did for you guys, and all of a sudden
he starts
using his free mind, and it's like, oh my god,
we've been griping about Barr for a while, what did
A.G. Barr do for us?
We thought we were hopeful.
Oh my god, everything that Trump wanted,
like what?
No, there's been no, the
let him answer that.
No, it has been.
Don't interfere.
Okay. All right, I'll give you the best example, the summary of the Mueller report, what he put out in terms of that memo.
Well, that was too much.
I'm telling you, right.
But he didn't prosecute it.
It wasn't even based in fact. You can take all kinds of opinions about what the Mueller report was, but it was so overtly political when the AG is supposed to be the AG for the country, not the AG for the president.
What was Mueller supposed to be? AG for you? You
know, kind of like Eric Holder, right?
Yeah.
Eric Holder's AG for all the people.
Chief prosecutor? Who's the chief prosecutor? Not Weingarten. He was one for us too.
You can't remember him. Hey, listen, this is going to get things spiced up.
Yeah, this is great.
We got Barney on line one. So put on your helmet.
Hey, Barney.
Hey, Barney, you're on with Chuck and Julie and Ted.
Ted, just shut your face for a second. Julie, I love you. I love the way everybody's stupid now. That's awesome. Chuck, I love you. Ted, I'm going to have to call bullshit on your crap. Give me a break. Donald Trump has only come out very few times and told us this was bogus. Let me say something to you, Ted. Do you really expect me to believe that a jackass like Joe Biden gets more votes than your petulant little Marxist that was the president for 8 years? I'm not effing buying it. I don't need Donald Trump to tell me that you guys did some bull crap to us nonstop. And all we hear about, like the stupid woman in Georgia that takes the stick out of her pocket and puts it in the turd's pocket. Ted, you know what? At least just damn it, admit it. There is no way that Joe Biden is going to have more votes than Obama. They went through the counties where Obama got 350 and Biden gets 450. I God almighty. And I'll tell you what, Ted, I don't know what's going to – by the way, I do still love you, but I'd like to take that tree of yours and wrap you in the head with it. But I do love you. But the bottom line is we're sick of the cheating. And Chuck brings up Fulton County. Those people that got on that video, they were calling all kinds of names to those people. Oh, we know where your kids live. Oh, we know this. Oh, we know that. No, Ted, we've had it. And I'll tell you what. I'm not big on threatening people, but I sure wouldn't be if Justice Roberts was on Child Molester Island because there was a J. Roberts on the list. I have no sympathy for somebody like that when the karma comes your way, like somebody beats the hell out of you. Dad, we've had it. You cannot look at this with the in these big cities and they ripped us off. And I don't need Trump to tell me I was ripped off. But Ted, I still love you. But I want to smack you in the head.
Okay, thanks, Bernie. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you, Bernie.
Ben says he's now on the floor rolling. Stop this.
Oh, no, no. Hey, listen, I always love hearing from Bernie. Oh,
yeah. And somebody else has said, do you have a stuffed AG Bar Bear?
I know. I
was, that's
I
was right. Just, look at the right shoulder. Look over the right shoulder. It's AG Bar Bear.
Let me ask you about this. And again, on a serious note. So, you know, the Republicans are saying, Jenna Ellis, and I don't really want to talk about Jenna Ellis, face it, but what she's saying is that on January 6th, that's when Congress has to deal with the sealed Electoral College votes. Now, she says the votes will be open and all it will take is one House member to raise their hand and object to the state of electors' votes. And then if that objection gets seconded, then everything changes and the House and the Senate then go on and debate. And then they could vote if they decide to, for each congressperson get, or each delegation gets one vote. I mean, you know what I'm talking about here without going into the whole thing. Do you see, I mean, I could easily see that debate occurring. I don't know what would happen, but what do you see happening there?
I could see... One, I'm not for sure it's going to get that far, but if it did, I mean, I still think that truth and justice, and this is going to light the thing up on fire.
Yeah.
The chat box is going to light.
What's the horn? What's the horn start emerging from the head?
Biden would win. But I think it's important, and maybe I'm just misunderstanding the law a bit, but I think it's important to not confuse the one vote per state, which is if there were a tie in Electoral College that would happen within the House, you know, because within the Senate has to accept,
right,
you know, the Electoral College votes as they were reported.
Right.
And if my understanding's correctly, and
this is a question Chuck had. What happens if one says yes and the other says no? So you're saying your understanding would be the Senate, who you've totally bought off by now, basically won't accept, we'll go ahead and accept it. So it's not going to get to the House where you could lose.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I'm not an expert on this because we haven't really had it before.
Yeah.
But it does sound like, if you have objections, and Tommy Tuberville has said he'll raise the objection in the Senate. I'm not sure if there's a second. There will be two two in the House. Whether they then debate and they go back, and I'll have to read the Constitution myself because I know that just like any piece of law, which the Constitution is, it's subject to interpretation of how you interpret it. So it'll be fascinating. But I think thank God that the inauguration is going to be virtual because those huge crowds are always following Joe around. They won't be able to.
Why are they doing a virtual? And they want me to donate. Why should I donate?
Are you donating to the virtual?
To the virtual inauguration. I hope they have better luck than my son does in his Zoom meetings if they're trying to.
Well, how did you enjoy the very, very tough interview that Stephen Colbert gave to Dr. Jill and our president-elect?
Now.
Have you had a chance to read her dissertation? It's online?
No.
Oh, you should. No, it's very, very, it.
You won't think she should be Surgeon General at the end of it.
No, nor do you think you wonder whether she got out of third grade. I mean, she is really a Dumbo. I had no idea. I always thought she was intelligent, the more intelligent of the two. No, it turns out they're both morons.
What do you think is going to happen? Okay, so let's go to our other conspiracy theory. And that is after about a week or two, Joe will get sick or will trip over his dog while he's naked again. Why are the Bidens always naked? I just want to. And why are they telling us they're naked?
And was that dog terrified when this naked man
chasing
was grabbing
my dog?
His tail.
I apologize for being ignorant. I'm this whole naked Biden thing.
I must
have missed something.
Yes,
you did. Hunter Biden is wandering around. His family's complaining, Facebook living with porn people while his teenage relatives in the area. When Joe Biden hurt his foot, he said that he was chasing, he was buck naked.
Coming out of the shower,
chasing
his dog. And he grabbed
his dog
by the tail, which sure was terrified. And that pulled him down.
That's why he broke his foot.
And that's how he broke
his foot. So first of all, the Biden should keep their state of clothing to themselves, number one. But
keep the hands off the dogs while they're naked. No Biden should be able to be able to grab a doctor.
But, you know what it says to me? It says one very simple thing. Never Facebook Live. This whole culture, this whole culture.
That's a very good
point.
I got
to send a picture of myself every 2 minutes. Oh, I just went to the bathroom. It was such a great experience. You know, I never realized that toilet paper came in square little things and that you would rip them apart. Did you know I had a drink of water today? Was it refreshing? And then I walked across the street and I saw a dog. I mean, that's silly. It's silly. I really, I don't give a damn.
Who's a Democratic candidate from Texas who did that? Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah. You know, he's like FaceTiming from the dental chair. Really? Like, I want to see that.
Right, exactly. Anyway, though, where I was going with my question was, this is our conspiracy theory number two, which is, how long before Kamala Harris becomes president?
It's a good question. This is just Ted's opinion. This isn't based on some grand plan. I just have a difficult time seeing Biden run for a second term.
Well, I mean,
that's the last thing. It's the last thing he should be talking about now, because what we got to be talking about is this term. She's going to be the one to beat in the primary, and it'll be interesting to see how they use her in this first term to see how she can build that platform in order to do it. But while at the same time respecting the fact that she's just the vice president.
But do you think she'll quit? Though that's my question. Do you think that's what we think?
He'll quit.
Joe Biden will resign like in 2 weeks.
No.
No. How come?
How come?
Jill won't let him. No.
No, I think the chat thing's probably going to, you know, start on fire again, and Chuck is going to start on fire. I actually do believe there's a sense of respecting the field, and I think there will be some respect that Biden's will want to give to other people that may want to run for president. And it's like, I don't want to bias the field by saying that I'm going to resign in order to give Kamala one foot up to make sure that she's already president when she's running.
I have a question.
It's the same thing of, you know, do you endorse?
Okay.
Right. Now, in terms of the time that it took Obama to endorse, not time, but he was just being respectful to the field.
Because he knows Joe's a fool. And until everybody else had dropped out, as he said, don't be surprised at how much that guy can F up. But let me ask you this. If it's Kamala versus, you know, let's say Cuomo or something, you know, and it's a tight race. Who gets the Dominion voting machines?
Hey, you know, Dominion's based in Colorado.
I know.
The Platte River people with the Hillary Clinton email servers, too. I mean, a lot of weird Democrats.
Well, you know, they live in my basement. So it's all planned out.
They're down there, huh?
Let me ask you this to put, this is another.
Hey, thing. Dominion.
Here's a serious question.
We're going along, and Matt Crane, who is the clerk and recorder for Arapahoe County. Yeah, he lost in 2018, part of that rig you guys did there.
Our ballot harvesting.
Yeah. All your little special $23 million worth of ballot harvesting. Everybody's kind of, he's a great guy. You know, we love Matt. And, you know, that didn't matter. He got a crooked Democrat in there. But there, somebody said, called me the other day and said, you know, what company has his wife worked for the last 10 years?
Dominion
voting.
They just have a bigger office here than we realize.
You know, I have to ask you a question. You know, has there ever been a Democrat that you liked?
Let me think about
Kennedy,
that.
I was a baby.
I worked for Gene McCarthy in New York when he ran.
I like Rhonda Fields.
and I thought he was great. Let me think about it.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just curious.
No. Well, Gene McCarthy, I worked for in his campaign. So
he was great.
Yeah. So I work for him.
I love Rhonda too, Julie.
Rhonda Fields.
I'm a big fan of Rhonda.
Like. What other Democrats do we possibly like?
Taking you off track.
Yeah, you're taking us off track. I like Stan Garnett.
I like Stan Garnett too.
Yeah, no, there are plenty of Democrats like actually. I like plenty of Democrats. Yeah. I like.
You ran.
I want to ask. I'd be like you.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a serious consultant type question. Let's assume that Biden is actually sworn in as president. What does Trump do? And what does part A, then part B is, do you see the never Trumpers coming back? I don't personally, but I mean, what do you think Trump is going to do?
Okay. I'm going to do a little bit of, you know, not serious, and then I'm going to get serious.
Okay.
First of all, when he's going to try back good to go back to Mar-a-Lago, and he has a real problem because of the agreement that he signed that he can only be there so many days a year. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out because he wants to go down there. You know, I think he's going to toy with the idea of running for president for 24, but my bet is that's more a way just to build his base. Because, you know, there's an opportunity here for him in terms of what he's built and kind of the messaging he can do around that. You know, he can be something that's even crazier than Newsmax and OAN.
Right.
You know, and it'd be interesting to see where you're
going. Crazier than MSNBC and CNN?
Well, we can argue about that one later.
How do you argue about that?
Then, but the other one on the Never Trumpers, you know, this is something I think we've talked about before, and that is the Republican Party's got to figure out who they are. And I think that, and I've said this before, maybe it was just in conversation with somebody, but I know it actually may have been on Peter's show. Never Trumpers are going to wake up and all of a sudden see the agenda that's coming out of the Biden administration, the agenda that I'm going to support. And there's going to be a lot of that that they're not going to like. And they're going to be waking up to the policy side of some of this. And it's like, where do they go?
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to have the ideology of saying, I don't believe in this. I don't want this to happen. But where are they going to turn in order to try to fight that?
Well,
and I think that there's just, what has the Republican Party become? I'm not being critical of Trump.
No, right.
It's changed.
I think if you look at the Trump supporter, I mean, you look at the fact that he had massive, like 99% support among his supporters, right? I mean, among Republicans who voted for him. I think there were a lot of Democrats who hoped that when Obama left office, he was going to try to do a lot more than, I think there were a ton of people who were disappointed in what happened with Obama after he left office. Have you seen, and maybe just me, but have you seen a president who may be leaving with still the kind of strong, loyal support from a base like Trump has? And what do you do with that? Or do you not see it that way?
No. Just being purely Machiavellian, he has an extraordinary base of support. You know, I mean, he could stand up and say the sky isn't blue and there would be tens of millions of people that would believe it. And I don't mean that as a joke. It's just that that's the kind of power that he has and the base of people that support him. So I would be hopeful that he would take that power that he has and uses it for something that is productive in terms of what we're trying to do. Not that it has to agree with me.
Right.
But
fraud voting across the United States.
Well, let's put that aside, but just within the policy arena, the one thing that we don't have enough of is what I consider to be, and people may find this adjective offensive, and I don't mean it to be, but respectful debate. You know, where, you know, the best way to get a better, you know, a better solution to something is to argue about it. You know, and hear people out. And it's like, okay, yeah, maybe that's a point. Maybe that's something I should listen to. It's not that you're looking for an epiphany. It's not, you know, if you're looking for epiphany, open a Bible.
Yeah.
The other side would be arguing with them. I isn't going to all of a sudden stand up and go, oh my God, you're so right. I'm so wrong. I'm so
But
stupid.
I don't think.
Sorry.
I
mean, however,
I mean, the reason
why we get to solutions by arguing.
Right. And but
we're really not doing that.
Here's the thing. The reason why we like to have you on a lot, and everybody loves to listen to you, I mean, you're one of our favorite guests, is that you are able to do that. I mean, you say, oh, what about this? And you laugh and everything else. Most Democrats.
Kamala Harris.
It gets about two sentences, and then it's racist. Racist. Sexist. Misogynist. I mean, that's all, you know, because Democrats are not used
to... It's a list of the is or the isn'ts.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that's only
well,
what
let
it comes
down
to.
Let me go back to, because yeah, I don't think we're going to be in for more peaceful times. I just don't.
I think anybody who thinks that all of a sudden there's going to be this unity and there's going to be this calm,
right?
You know, you're high.
Yeah.
This division, you know, and the heat that's out there right now, that isn't just going to disappear. And, you know, whether we like it or not, you know, what was 70 some odd billion, I can't remember the total of votes that President Trump got, that means something.
Yeah.
You know, and
you, got, you had on your side a real 64 million. And those are real people. Those are real people.
My point is politically, we got to figure out how to, and this word gets misused, but we have to figure out how to empathize. We've got to be hearing what the folks that are voting for Trump, there are reasons why they did.
Yes.
We got to figure out some of that because, you know, we're a country of one people. We're not a country of two peoples.
Yeah. Well, no. But you can ask David Brooks that, you know, the famous columnist for the New York Times, and he explains it. He says the why they believe that is because they're ill-educated. They don't have enough contact with the expert class.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they feel threatened either by race or sex or otherwise. And he feels sorry for them, but they're so stupid, ill-informed, and otherwise. So that's
not helpful. I mean, obviously, that's not helpful. I mean, you don't come to a place where you guys get along and have a debate by saying, and by the way, I really want to have a respectful conversation with you, but you're stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Let me ask you about social media. What do you make of that? I mean, I think not just social media, but mainstream media. We did have, and you have to, this is a fact, the mainstream media until after the election ignored the Hunter Biden story. Facebook wouldn't let you put it on there. Twitter wouldn't let you. You know, we've had YouTube refuse to let us post videos where we even talk about the fact that there are questions about, you know, election fraud. Where do you see, I think that's going to be a problem for Democrats because I think
it's going to be a problem for anybody
accepting
anything.
It's going to be a problem for Democrats in part because the way I understood it in terms of where Trump was going on dealing with these large tech companies, you know, the Googles, the Twitters, the Facebooks, right. I actually think he was going down a path that's something that we really need to listen to.
Yeah.
They're corporations that in the old days, you without a doubt would have called monopolies.
Right.
But because it's dealing with people in this new medium, well, it's not new, but some people it's new. And it has a free speech component to it. Everybody's like worried about how they're going to touch it. Now, with that, I would say this censoring by them. When it comes to free speech, I'm an ACLU type. You know, you have the right to free speech. You can say what you want to say. You can put it out there. And, you know, government shouldn't
That's
be used
the
to
old
empower government.
ACLU. You're not talking about the new improved ACLU.
Then it's the old ACLU. No. And I do have to say, because I was looking at some of the comments, you know, I think this was from Sandra. So right. People are pissed. People are finally had a president who fought for the people. You know, I actually think there's a real point to that. And, you know,
taking over our comments.
Listen, I'm going to say something where I hope on the chat it goes from, oh my God, let's light Ted on fire to, oh my God, finally he said something nice. And that is, I actually think, despite the way that I think Trump totally mishandled coronavirus and it would not have been a bad if we would approach it differently, putting that aside. Give me a chance to actually say something that is, you know, complimentary to Trump. I do think that the speed by which that we got the vaccines and how the regulatory environment moved at such a faster speed was in large part because the way he said, you're going to do this and you're going to do this now. And I don't care. Don't give me an excuse, blah, blah, right. blah, blah. You know, right. we have to give him some credit for that. The second thing I would say, and I disagree with the ideology behind it, but he did take the regulatory world, the executive branch world, and just started telling them no. You know, if you're a conservative and all the things that you believe in terms of, you know, who should be appointed to the federal bench, who should be appointed to the United States Supreme Court, you know, or how the EPA should be doing something, how the Interior should be doing something. He did more for conservatives in 3.5 years than so what conservatives did from 1980 to now. Until Trump became president. So there is something to be said for that.
Because I really don't know if you had been President Trump, and the Wuhan virus came, what would you have done so much differently?
Well, first of all, there should have been a coordinated strategy in terms of PPE and how that was going to be allocated. This idea that states had to compete was, I understand the ideology around what the federal government is and what state governments are, and it truly is 10th Amendment based. And I think there was a lot of that going on. I also think there was overemphasis of the market. No, there should have been a heavy hand of the federal government and say, listen, you know, we're going to take the National Defense Act, whatever it is. These people are going to be producing these things. We're going to control what the PPE is and how we're going to do it, how we're going to allocate it. So then you didn't have states competing on the open market and driving up prices of all these various products. That's one and two, three, right. three. There should have been a mandate around masks early on, you know, and there should have been buy-in from Republicans early on, because there was a moment there where there could have been buy-in from senior Republicans. I think even within the conservative movement, the importance of using masks, but you had a president who poo-pooed it.
Well, because
once you poo-poo it.
Because it don't work. We've been all wearing our masks dutifully and we're all still getting COVID. I mean, it's a virus. And that's a whole other show.
But that just isn't true.
It is true.
It is true.
Everybody has COVID. Why is
Everybody.
It all going up?
Haven't you had COVID? Okay, you got pneumonia. But all the rest of us got COVID.
And we wore our masks faithfully.
We all got COVID. And by the way, you know, I've had swine flu and COVID now. Swine flu is 1,000 times worse. 1,000 times worse. COVID, for most people, if you're moderately healthy, it's kind of a sniffle, and you can feel tired for a while.
And as Ben points out, Fauci said we didn't need masks at the beginning.
What's he supposed to do when Fauci says masks don't work?
Now you got it.
That's my pneumonia cough. That's my pneumonia cough.
Let me, because we're never going to
agree. Of course we're going to agree.
Let me ask you again, because, you know, as with your strategist, I guess, consultant head, and one thing I always appreciate you is you are able to, I think, put aside your own thoughts or your opinions about something and give a pretty, I always feel, direct, you know, assessment of the
situation.
You
have a good empathy antenna.
You're kind of like a Republican whisperer. What do you think? Because I mean, I think if you're a Democrat and you're kind of like one of those radical celebrity types, you're all happy now because Trump is gone and everything is going to go back to the way you want it to go. But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, what happens, do you think, to the Republican Party? You Democrats still have a problem in it, except for Trump. You didn't have a particularly good election on a national level, right? You lost 11 House seats.
The socialist message, down ballot, you know, minus the presidential, right, down ballot killed us,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And anyone who thinks that this was a grand mandate for Democrats, what we're going to do across the country, again, I'm going to use this phrase, you're high, because it's just not, which is part of the reason why we got to figure this out. We have to empathize.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Republicans may have the problem of figuring out what the Republican Party is going to be. And, you know, Trump is going to be such a face of this, you know, as he continues. So then how do other people within the Republican Party come up? How are they going to figure out who's going to be candidates for what? That's something that's going to have to be figured out. Democrat, we have our own problem.
Yeah.
And that problem is we have a very active left. And it's an active left that believes that they have more support than they really do. You know, in part, the reason why you saw such an extraordinary switch in South Carolina, you know, when Biden wins South Carolina, and then you had Buttigieg and then Klobuchar. I mean, this is all within hours. Turn around, flip, and endorse him. There was absolute panic about Bernie picking up more momentum and becoming the nominee, knowing that we're going to lose. Because, you know, and I've said this multiple times, when you poll, and there's been research on this, Democratic primary voters on issues, when you come to, you know, the Ocasio-Cortez type issues, the numbers are really low.
Yeah.
You know, Democrats are much more towards the middle of the road, much more moderate than people want to believe, because they only hear the loud voices, many of which you hear on MSNBC.
Well, here's but we have a couple minutes.
No, we don't.
You have one big problem. Once you guys finish us white Russians off, the Bolsheviks are going to come for you Mensheviks, and they are going to send you to gulags and do everything awful to you that you can imagine. Just watch.
We'll save you a spate. We'll save you a spot.
Well, we'll be around. They'll wipe us out, but they're coming for you next.
Ted, we got to go now. They're sending us.
Ted, it's great having you. We love having you.
Oh,
on.
I love it. So much fun. The time always goes by so quickly.
All right. Happy holidays to you guys. We'll see you later. Yeah. Everybody, thank you for joining us. Thank you. All right. Thank you on everybody on Zoom. Thank you to the guys at BBS. Remember, if you missed part of the show, you can catch it as always at chuckandjulie.com.
And go out and party. I don't care what the government says. Go out and party.
See you Monday.